markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Interactive Brokers Global Analyst. It helps you find new global investment opportunities to diversify your portfolio and discover undervalued companies that may have greater growth potential. Try IBKR Global Analyst today at IBKR.com/GA. Futures rising this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the green right now, with Dow futures up 149 points. S&P's gained 22, while NASDAQ futures rise by 72. The U.S. 10-year yield at 3%. Gold is down 4. Oil is trading lower, but Bitcoin is trading higher by 1%. Japan was little changed overnight, while European markets are in the red this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, initial jobless claims. In other news, Tesla's Chinese production soars back with output more than tripling, and Facebook is said to have halted development on its Apple Watch rival. In deal news, people familiar said that Walgreens received a binding offer from Apollo and Reliance for its international arm. And wrapping things up, Scott's Miracle-Gro was cut to neutral over at J.P. Morgan. Live from the First Air Banking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. We're also watching Target this morning. Shares are more than 1%. It increased its quarterly cash dividend to $1.08 a share from 90 cents. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The January 6th committee's primetime live hearings begin tonight. The committee will try to show the nation what sparked the Capitol riot and who was responsible. The House passed a package of gun legislation last night. It comes ahead of whatever compromise plan emerges from bipartisan negotiations in the Senate. In the NBA Finals, the Celtics beat the Warriors 116-100 to take a 2-1 lead in the series. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost, along with the Nationals and A's. The Red Sox and Giants won. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Important. I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. After another primary night this week, here's one thing that stands out. We're going to hear a lot from Republicans over the next few weeks about how voters don't care about the attack on the Capitol on January 6th last year, or about Donald Trump's attempts to stay in office despite losing the election. In a way, this is correct. Voters tend to not care about lots of important things, after all. Or, more accurately, lots of important things don't normally affect many votes. Regardless, quite a few candidates are talking a lot about the 2020 election, and those candidates are Republicans. Recently, Pennsylvania Republicans nominated a gubernatorial candidate running on false claims of fraud, while a Trump-endorsed candidate for governor in Georgia was badly defeated after spending much of his campaign talking about 2020. More of the same this week, some winning, some losing. Certainly a lot of Republican candidates, and at least one former president, think it's essential to keep focused on the 2020 election. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion. Or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It is 6:50 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked top 50 national public university by U.S. News and World Report, and number 14 in the nation on Money's Best Colleges list. Learn more at njit.edu. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. We're learning more about the severity of so-called long COVID. According to a study by South Africa's biggest health insurer, people who had a documented COVID-19 infection are more likely to be hospitalized or develop diabetes or hypertension in the months following their illness. The findings indicate the risk of dying is still no higher. Facebook parent company Meta has halted development of a smartwatch with dual cameras. It's instead working on other devices for the wrist, according to a person with knowledge of the matter. The device has been under development for 2 years and was designed to include several health and tech features common in other smartwatches. And Apple said it will handle the lending itself for a new buy now, pay later offering, sidestepping partners as the tech giant pushes deeper into the financial services industry. A wholly owned subsidiary will oversee credit checks and make decisions on loans for the service, which is called Apple Pay Later. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it is now 6:52 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C., where some of the top stories include President Biden being pressed on guns and inflation on Jimmy Kimmel's ABC Late Night Show. President proposing a regional economic partnership as the Summit of the Americas gets underway in Los Angeles. And the January 6th committee promising surprises in tonight's first primetime televised hearing. Ahead of all that, we are joined live this morning by Bloomberg government congressional reporter Jack Fitzpatrick. Jack, good morning. I think the takeaway line from President Biden on last night's Jimmy Kimmel show is the quote, "Inflation is the bane of our existence." It was kind of a tough room for the president last night.
Yeah, it was a little surprising that a late night show host seemed to be determined to ask some tough questions. He pressed him on inflation. He pressed him on executive inaction on gun control. Clearly the president's words were true in an economic and political sense. It's the bane of Democrats' existence on the campaign trail as well. And it's clear he feels the need to address that. I did think it was fairly newsworthy that when he talked about potential responses, even though some of this is out of his hands, he did go back to the prescription drug pricing debate, and that's something that is still sort of maybe on the back burner, but being discussed in Congress. It's not the panacea for overall inflation and price increases, but if that political pressure regarding inflation prompts, I guess, greater movement on the drug pricing debate, that would certainly be a significant development.
And when it comes to the gun debate, Jack, was the president kind of arguing that moving forward on that is kind of out of his hands, at least unilaterally?
Yeah, he actually invoked former President Donald Trump, who he said went overboard with executive orders. He wants to follow the law. And it's true that the president, there's no law that gives the president a huge amount of leeway regarding any major gun control measures. So really the conversation is still in the Senate, where they're trying to figure out what could get 60 votes to respond to the recent mass shootings. And that may be a smaller measure. They're talking about red flag laws at the state level, shoring up background checks for younger people who might have certain things expunged in their records. Not a huge measure, but you know, the conversation is still going forward in the legislative branch, in the Senate, about what they can do.
Yeah, speaking of huge measures, we did get one passed in the House yesterday, but I guess you're sort of implying there that that one's probably not going to go much of anywhere in the Senate.
Yeah, that was the more ambitious measure with a lot of Democratic support. It included measures such as raising the minimum age for the purchase of many semi-automatic rifles to 21 years old. It got into federal standards for the safe storage of firearms. That was almost exactly a party line vote. There were 5 Republican votes in favor. There are actually 2 Democrats who voted no. They got 223 votes when they needed about 218. So, you know, it's a chance for Democrats to vote on something they like in the House. That's kind of why the House of Representatives is there. But as for something with a realistic chance of being enacted, the action really is in those behind-the-scenes talks in the Senate.
Only about a minute and a half left here, Jack, but we got to talk about what's coming up tonight in prime time on Capitol Hill, the first nationally televised January 6th hearing.
Yeah, prime time is the major takeaway. This starts at 8, and the lawmakers on the panel are determined to kind of make their case to the American people that this was significant, that lawmakers like Jamie Raskin on the panel have said this was not a spur-of-the-moment thing. They're going to lay out the details of what they know about any level of prior coordination. The inclusion of Nick Quested, the documentary filmmaker, in this is interesting because he was embedded with a camera crew with the far-right Proud Boys. There was a meeting on January 5th between them and the Oath Keepers. I think they will get into the degree to which certain groups organized their activities rather than the overrunning of the Capitol being a spur-of-the-moment response.
In our last 30 seconds here, Jack, the committee is promising surprises to come out of this. We know there have been a lot of closed-door hearings here. What are you going to be looking for in terms of things we might not know about what happened on January 6th?
Well, they've conducted a lot of interviews. They are said to plan portions of video testimony from Trump family members and other high-profile people. We don't know exactly who, but it would be very interesting to see if they include some of that testimony that was recorded interviews with people like Ivanka Trump or Jared Kushner or Mark Meadows, who was the chief of staff at the time. They've talked to a lot of people close to the president and a focus on what they had to say would be some of the most newsworthy events out of this hearing tonight.
Now, we know you're going to be watching it very closely, Jack, and we're going to have full morning after coverage for you here tomorrow, right here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg government reporter Jack Fitzpatrick, as always, thanks for being with us. You can read more about all these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Focus this morning on an ECB policy decision. Ahead of it, S&P futures are higher by 22 points. Much more to come on Bloomberg Surveillance. That's straight ahead. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App
and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers charges margin loan rates from 1.33% to 2.33%. Rates subject to change. Learn more at ibkr.com/compare. Up first, traders are awaiting a policy decision from the European Central Bank. We get a preview from Bloomberg's James Wilcock in London.
Options pricing suggests that traders haven't been this jittery about an ECB rate decision since 2019. The central bank is set to end QE and set out a path towards its first rate hike since 2011 when it meets today. But what traders really want to know is if President Christine Lagarde would back 50 basis point hikes in the future as the Eurozone faces inflation accelerating at a record pace.
And Bloomberg's James Wilcox says the ECB decision will come down in an hour and 15 minutes from now.
Well, ahead of that, Karen, gas continues to surge to record highs, and we get the latest live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. More pain at the pump, John.
Yeah, Nathan, gasoline prices have now topped $5 a gallon in 16 states, and prices aren't likely to drop anytime soon. Increased oil demand continues to outpace the global supply. Gasoline inventories are at the lowest seasonal level in 8 years, according to the Energy Information Administration. It's part of the overall inflation picture that continues to be a top focus of the White House and President Biden.
Inflation is the bane of our existence.
The president making the comments in an interview with ABC late night host Jimmy Kimmel. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Well, Twitter is telling its staff a vote on Elon Musk's deal to buy the company is coming this summer. We get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Renita.
Karen, Bloomberg sources say Twitter's top lawyer is reassuring staff that the deal to sell the company to Elon Musk will go ahead and that a vote could happen in late July or early August. Meantime, regulatory filings show Dubai-based investment firm Vi Capital is committing $700 million to help finance Musk's bid for Twitter. That makes the company the third biggest outside equity investor. The deal has also drawn money from billionaire Larry Ellison and Sequoia Capital. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thanks. Shares of Tesla are up more than 3%. Production in China more than tripled last month, even though the electric car maker just got its Shanghai factory back up to speed.
And the transformation of Facebook continues, Nathan. The company, which changed its name to Meta Platforms last year, will now trade under the ticker META instead of FB. That's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers.
All right, Karen, thank you. To 633 on Wall Street, where it's 69 degrees with the rain continuing, now causing flooding on the southbound West Side Highway, 90s through the 70s. More coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The House passed a package of gun legislation, including raising the minimum age to buy a semi-automatic rifle from 18 to 21. Before the vote, Democratic Representative Mike Thompson spoke in favor of the measure.
Raising the age to buy an assault weapon saves lives. Limiting magazine capacity will limit the carnage of mass shootings, and it saves lives. Going after traffickers keeps guns out of the hands of people who shouldn't have them, and it saves lives.
However, Republican Congressman James Comer disagrees with Thompson.
We have people in the military using weapons when they're 18, and I mean that's good enough for a military. I think that's the way it should be for law-abiding citizens.
Comer was among the 204 who voted against the bill. Meanwhile, New York Mayor Eric Adams testified before a House committee on oversight and reform on gun violence in Washington. Adams, who posted his comments on his Twitter account, says it is a disgrace that virtually every day brings another bout of gun violence.
We are facing a crisis that is killing more Americans than war. A crisis that is now the number one cause of death for our young people.
Mayor Adams says it is high noon in America. Members of the House committee investigating the events of January 6th will hold their first primetime hearing tonight to share what they have uncovered about former President Donald Trump and the deadly storming of the U.S. Capitol. Former President Trump, Donald Trump Jr., and his daughter Ivanka have agreed to answer questions under oath next month in the New York Attorney General's civil investigation into his business practices. A Manhattan judge signed off on an agreement that calls for the Trumps to give depositions starting July 15th. The agreement comes after a series of setbacks for Trump's efforts to block State Attorney General Letitia James's three-year-long investigation. People who have had a documented COVID-19 infection are more likely to be hospitalized or develop diabetes or hypertension in the months after their illness, an indication of the severity of so-called long COVID. That's according to a study by South Africa's biggest health insurer, Discovery Health. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. John Stashower is here with a Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. Three games into what's been a strange NBA Finals. The Warriors have outscored the Celtics in the third quarters by a total of 43 points, but the Celtics have won the fourth by 40. There hasn't been a close final score yet in Boston. Celtics jumped in front 24-9 and then won that fourth 23-11. 11 is the third fewest points ever scored in the final quarter of a finals game. Boston won 116-100, now up 2-1 in the series. Rangers and Lightning tied at 2. Game 5 tonight at the Garden. Rangers coach Gerard Gallant asked about Tampa Bay's ability to prevent the Rangers from scoring when it's not a power play.
It's nothing that they haven't seen before. You know, they're doing different. They're just, it's intense hockey, and you got to get ready to play it. And it doesn't seem to bother us when we're playing at home. So the last two games, was there issues? Yes, but we got to get better. So we will.
Rangers have not scored a 5-on-5 goal since game 2, but they have won 8 in a row at MSG. Yankees and Mets both suffered their most lopsided losses of the season. The Yanks' 7-game win streak ended at Minnesota 8-1. Yanks had just 4 hits. Both Nestor Cortes and Clark Schmidt gave up 4 runs. That's the most allowed this season by Cortes. Gerrit Cole pitches tonight. Mets lost in San Diego 13-2, so outscored the last two nights 20-2. The Padres, 5 runs in the fourth inning and 4 in the fifth. The Mets are off tonight. They visit the Angels tomorrow. The Angels have lost 14 games in a row, half of those by one run. They just lost 1-0 to the Red Sox, who've now won their last 7, and so has Atlanta. The Braves beat Oakland. That was also 13-2. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. It is 6:37 on Wall Street. Let's take a look now at some of the stocks that are moving in the pre-market. Bloomberg TV anchor and markets correspondent Danny Berger joins us this morning. Danny, we mentioned the Tesla shares moving up this morning. Elon Musk company put out some pretty strong production numbers from the Shanghai Gigafactory, even though it's been shut down for quite a bit.
Exactly. I mean, that's part of what makes these numbers so remarkable. So they came out from the China Passenger Car Association, and production in May more than tripled. I'm not sure too many people expected this, because for most of April was shut down. Really only in May did they start getting back online. And even that, I mean, it's not up to full production. The numbers they put out, yes, it tripled from the month before, but it's still about 50% below what they do in a normal month, although I'm not sure what counts as normal in this environment anymore. But still, you know, it is a big move for them. UBS also upgrading the stock, saying, you know, their outlook looks brighter than ever, saying they've sold off a lot. So this is an attractive entry point. So Tesla up more than 3.3% this morning pre-market.
Yeah, a good morning to upgrade the stock. And we're also seeing some signs, Danny, that China's tech crackdown has been going on for the last few months, maybe starting to ease up for Jack Ma.
Yeah, a really fantastic scoop by the Bloomberg China Tech team that China's considering reviving Ant Group's IPO, as you say, Jack Ma's company. And this comes off the back of China approving some more video games earlier this week. So these signs are pointing towards a relaxation of some of the tech crackdown. Of course, Alibaba owns about a third of Ant. So in terms of pre-market movers, that ADR, obviously one of the ones to benefit. It's up about 1%. It's off some of the highs that it had been. But Didi, for example, another Chinese ADR, that's up more than 3.5%. So yeah, China Securities Regulatory Commission apparently establishing a team to reassess the Ant share plan. So again, it's just sort of all of China tech rising in sympathy.
About 30 seconds left here, Danny. The drama continues at Credit Suisse. Can you get us up to speed?
In 30 seconds, look, it's this continued story of, you know, is State Street going to buy them? A lot of analysts have poured cold water on it. Bloomberg out with a report that they're tapping the brakes on their China growth. It again lends itself to the problems in the region and greater for Credit Suisse. So look, it's going to be a volatile session for Credit Suisse, you know, not just today, probably for the near foreseeable future.
Yeah, we'll continue keeping an eye on it. All right, Danny Berger, Bloomberg TV anchor, joining us on radio this morning, our markets correspondent. Thanks for being here, Danny, this morning and looking at stocks as a whole as we get set for an ECB policy decision in just about an hour. And, of course, the weekly jobless claims coming out just about 2 hours from now. We have S&P futures up 21 points right now. Dow futures up 144. NASDAQ futures higher by 81 points. Germany's DAX down 0.5% ahead of the ECB decision. 10-year Treasury up 430 seconds. The yield right at 3%. And the yield on the two-year, 2.77%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, rain clearing out this afternoon, going up to the upper 70s. Mostly sunny for one day tomorrow. We're looking for showers to return Saturday. Still raining, still 69 degrees.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are rising this morning as bond yields stabilize. And as a report that Chinese financial regulators have started discussions on a potential revival of Ant Group's initial public offering fuels optimism that a crackdown on the tech sector is easing. European equities, meanwhile, slipping ahead of an ECB decision that'll put the region's monetary policy on a path of tightening. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 14 points. Dow futures up 103. NASDAQ futures up 56. The DAX in Germany's down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 3.01%. The yield on the two-year, 2.78%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.3%, or 39 cents, at $121.72 a barrel. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, after a day of emotional testimony on Capitol Hill from families and survivors shattered by gun violence, the House passed a sweeping gun control package late last night. However, the measure is facing a roadblock in the Senate. The House Select Committee investigating the deadly January 6th Capitol attack will present its material for the first time in prime time tonight. In the NBA Finals, the Celtics beat the Warriors to take a 2-1 lead in the series. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost, along with the Nationals and A's. The Red Sox and Giants won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries, I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And now we bring you an interview with the head of ARK Investment Management, Kathy Wood. She spoke at the Up Summit Conference in Arkansas yesterday, telling Bloomberg's Ed Ludlow inflation will die down. Wood points to massive inventories now held by U.S. companies and suggests price pressures will ease for consumers.
There has been volatility in public markets. There has been underperformance in higher multiple, sometimes pre-revenue, often pre-profit companies. But thematically, they are in mobility, EV and battery-related startups, LiDAR-related startups, mobility startups that went public via a SPAC. Why is that?
Innovation generally, starting in February of 21, that was our peak. Innovation has been, for want of a better word, trashed. And the reason is...
What do you mean by that?
What I mean is, I'll give you the backdrop here. So if you look at our performance, our flagship's performance, from the low in COVID to the peak in February of 21, that was 360% increase. Innovation solves problems. We had a lot of problems through the coronavirus. Innovation solves problems. We were rewarded accordingly. Since then, peak to trough, when we hit our trough, thank goodness we're past it, down 75%. Why? Inflation and interest rates. So there is this, and it's really interesting to be here, Walmart territory, because I think we're learning a lot from the retailers now.
And we're talking about what we learned about inventories.
Inventories, right. Yes. The fear of rising interest rates and inflation out of control has gripped the market. And of course, and that's the equity market. If you look at the fixed income market, it does not agree with this.
Yeah.
The 10-year Treasury bond yield is 3%. That instrument should be one of the most responsive to inflation fears, right? So 3%, which suggests GDP growth 3 to 4% during the next 10 years. So it's not being corroborated by the fixed income markets. And I don't think that we are in a period where we can't extricate ourselves from this. In fact, the inventory stories are a very good example of why inflation has become a problem. You know, the scrambling to bring more and more inventory to satisfy demand, stay-at-home demand, went into overdrive, and I believe the narrative in the last year, inflation, gave purchasing managers this idea that, okay, what's the worst that could happen if I build inventories? The worst that could happen is that I'm able to deliver inventory profits, sell at a higher price. Well, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. When we see, I've never seen inventory surges like this in my career, and I've been around for a long time. So 33% at Walmart, 42% at Target, 74% at, no, 50% at Kohl's. So very broad-based. And so I think we're going to see a lot of discounting. And what's beginning to happen now, just at the margin, and we're seeing it because our strategy is now starting to outperform the rest of the market. I've never been in a market where the market has gone to new highs and we are hitting lows. I've never been in a market. So there's been, and it hasn't been supported by the fixed income market. So we'll see what happens.
Let me just point out to the audience here in the room at Up Summit in Bentonville, Arkansas, and those listening around the world on Bloomberg Television Radio, I keep looking at my phone. And the reason I do is I'm on the Bloomberg Terminal. It's a down day in equity markets, but the ARK Innovation ETF is up 2.7%. Why is that?
I think it is seeping into the investor's mind is, wait a minute, are we right on this inflation call? They felt so right because supply chain issues extended for such a long time. Then Russia invades Ukraine. You know, of course, and of course, monetary and fiscal policy had been so stimulative. But as I've said many times, we think the greater risk by far is deflation. Deflation cyclically.
But you're talking over a longer time horizon.
I'm talking about now, too, because I think this inventory issue highlights the cyclical reason we've been saying we think inflation will unravel. The secular deflation story is very powerful. And as EVs and autonomous mobility of all stripes starts becoming a bigger base in the economy, that deflationary pull is going to be aggregated, because again, these are convergences between and among different technologies that are all on their own deflationary cost curves.
And that was Kathy Wood, the head of ARK Investment Management, speaking with Bloomberg's Ed Ludlow from the Up Summit Conference in Arkansas. And you can catch more of that interview. We have it for you online at Bloomberg.com. Right now, S&P futures are higher by 21 points. Dow futures up 142. NASDAQ futures higher by 88 points. European stocks moving lower ahead of the ECB decision due out in about an hour and 20 minutes, 7:45 Wall Street time. We'll get the latest policy announcement from the European Central Bank. 10-year Treasury is up 2/32 with a yield 3.01%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy, especially in times of crisis. Make your giving impactful. Visit jcfny.org.
Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, June 9th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
the ECB gets set to tighten monetary policy.
Gasoline prices hit record highs in more states.
The January 6th hearings get underway in primetime tonight.
And Twitter says it expects a vote on Elon Musk's takeover bid later this summer.
New York Mayor Adams testifies before a House committee on gun violence, plus the House passes gun reform legislation. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stash, Sharon Sports. The Celtics beat the Warriors in the NBA Finals. Rangers Lightning Game 5 tonight. Lopsided losses for the Mets and Yankees.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by BNY Mellon Pershing's Insight Conference, back in person June 15th through the 17th at the Gaylord Resort in Grapevine, Texas. Don't miss it. Register now at insight.bnymellon.com.
And futures are higher this morning, 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 13 points. Dow futures up 92. NASDAQ futures up 48. 10-year Treasury up 1/32. Yield 3.01%. And the yield on the 2-year, 2.78%. And NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.2%. Nathan.
All right, Karen. We'll get more on the markets in just a minute. But we begin overseas as the European Central Bank begins a new era of monetary policy today to confront the threat of inflation running out of control. Bloomberg's Ewan Potts joins us from London with the latest. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Today's decision, due at 7:45 a.m. New York time, is set to announce an imminent end to large-scale asset purchases. The ECB is also to pave the way for its first rate increase in more than a decade next month. The plan would match a timetable unveiled by President Christine Lagarde, who wants to bring to an end the euro area's ultra-low borrowing costs. But with rates at minus 0.5%, there's likely more to come. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. Well, we get the latest on inflation here in the U.S. when the Consumer Price Index is released tomorrow. Inflation, along with rising oil prices and tightening monetary policy, are affecting investor outlook. Malafia Dorawala, co-CIO for Multi-Asset Class Solutions at Rock Creek, talks about how she thinks investors should navigate the market volatility.
In terms of portfolio positioning, the most important, stay nimble, stay flexible, raise cash where you can, and be prudent and cognizant of the trade-offs between liquidity, potential investments, and have a longer-term horizon.
Rock Creek's Alafia Dorawala says supply shortages are creating further uncertainty.
In Asia, Karen, stocks were weighed down by the impact of high inflation. Semiconductor stocks across the region fell after Intel warned of weaker demand. China showed exports grew at a faster pace in May than the previous month, but sentiment waned on news of a mini lockdown in Shanghai.
Well, we turn to oil now, Nathan, which has surpassed $122 a barrel earlier this morning. Gas prices also hitting records in more states as Americans start to hit the road for peak driving season. And Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the latest. John, good morning.
And Karen, gasoline prices have broken records for at least 7 days. Prices have topped $5 a gallon in 16 states, and the demand is still rising. Gasoline supplies are more in line with levels that we usually see at the end of the driving season. We have now seen 10 weeks of declines in gasoline inventories. That's the longest run since 2019. It's likely to drive oil prices higher. Goldman Sachs increased its quarterly forecast for this year and into next year, raising its WTI estimate for the next quarter to $137 a barrel. Drivers in California, by the way, are paying the most in the country for gasoline, forking over an average of $6.39 a gallon. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, John, thank you. Turning to corporate news, Amazon CEO Andy Jassy says his company is feeling the pinch of gas prices and inflation.
I think we thought that inflation would start to attenuate in 2022, and with the war in Ukraine, it just went the other way and has significantly accelerated. And so the cost of trucking and line haul and ocean and air and fuel has just substantially gone up.
Amazon CEO Andy Jassy spoke at the Bloomberg Technology Summit in San Francisco.
Well, Nathan, Bloomberg also spoke with investing giant Cathie Wood at the UP Summit conference in Arkansas about inflation. The head of ARK Investment Management thinks it'll eventually come down.
I've never seen inventory surges like this in my career, and I've been around for a long time. I think this inventory issue highlights the cyclical reason we've been saying we think inflation will unravel.
And ARK Investments Cathie Wood said the greater risk to consumers and investors is actually deflation. Hear why in a few minutes. We'll bring you more of our interview with Cathie Wood.
All right. Meantime, Twitter's telling staff a vote on Elon Musk's deal to buy the company. It comes with some big names backing the bid. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with that. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Bloomberg sources say Twitter's top lawyer is reassuring staff that the deal to sell the company to Elon Musk will go ahead and that a vote could happen in late July or early August. Meantime, regulatory filings show Dubai-based investment firm Vi Capital is committing $700 million to help finance Musk's bid for Twitter. That makes the company the third biggest outside equity investor. The deal has also drawn money from billionaire Larry Ellison and Sequoia Capital. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. Well, after nearly a year of investigating the U.S. Capitol insurrection, the House committee is about to go public with what it knows starting tonight. And Bloomberg's Amy Morris reports from our 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The committee has interviewed more than 1,000 people and reviewed more than 125,000 documents, focusing on funding, motivation, and leadership of the mob that attacked the Capitol on January 6th last year. Tonight is the first in a series of public hearings. Some members are promising explosive new information with never-before-seen photos and other exhibits. There could be as many as 8 hearings in all, but a formal schedule has not been released. It all starts at 8 o'clock tonight, Wall Street time. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thanks. Right now, S&P futures are up 13 points. Dow futures up 95. NASDAQ futures are higher by 48 points. The DAX in Germany down 0.6% ahead of the ECB decision coming up next hour. CAC in Paris down 0.3%. The 10-year Treasury is up 1/32, yield 3.01%. NYMEX crude down 0.3% at $121.73 a barrel. Right now, the euro, little changed against the dollar, 1.0717. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. 6:07 on Wall Street, rain 69 degrees in Central Park. We have severe thunderstorm warnings in parts of Ocean County, Monmouth County, and Central New Jersey. Details coming up. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The House passed a package of gun legislation. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
It's called the Protecting Our Kids Act. It includes raising the age limit for purchasing some kinds of automatic weapons, prevents gun trafficking, and addresses safe storage. The arguments remained about the same. Republican Steve Scalise.
All we see is a rush to go take away the rights of law-abiding citizens to have guns.
Democrat Katie Porter.
Shootings involving assault weapons are 6 times as deadly as shootings involving handguns.
The true test comes in the Senate, though, where passage is still considered an uphill battle. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Meanwhile, New York Mayor Eric Adams testified before a House committee on oversight and reform on gun violence in Washington. Adams posted his comments on his Twitter account.
It is high noon in America. Time for every one of us to decide where we stand on the issue of gun violence. Time to decide if it's more important to protect the profits of gun manufacturers or the lives of our children.
Mayor Adams says we are facing a crisis that is killing more Americans than war. President Joe Biden is kicking off his first full day at the Summit of the Americas in Los Angeles, which brings together leaders from across the hemisphere every few years. Biden is working toward new agreements on economic development, climate change, and migration.
We need to break the cycle where marginalized communities are hit the hardest by disasters and have the fewest resources to recover from crises and prepare for the next one.
Also yesterday, President Biden made an appearance on ABC's Jimmy Kimmel Live, where he talked about gun reform and inflation.
Inflation is mostly in food and in gasoline at the pump.
Biden called inflation the bane of our existence. A recount determined that celebrity physician Mehmet Oz won the fiercely contested Republican U.S. Senate primary in Pennsylvania that was too close to call for 3 weeks. Oz will now face Democratic Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman in the fall. Manhattan apartment rents continued to skyrocket last month, with the median hitting $4,000 for the first time on record. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stasia.
Nathan, Yankees and Mets have the two best records in baseball, so they could be forgiven for both suffering lopsided losses on the road against good teams. They lost by a combined 21-3, and for both, their worst losses of the season. For the Yankees, an 8-1 defeat at Minnesota. The Twins scored twice, four straight innings. They got home runs from Brian Buxton, Ryan Jeffers, Nestor Cortez, who came in with an ERA of 1.5, gave up four runs, suffered his first loss in more than a month. The Mets, who lost 7-0 Tuesday, lost 13-2 in San Diego. Padres roughed up Chris Bassitt, Jake Cronenworth, a three-run homer he drove in five. The Mets were without Pete Alonso and Starling Marte, both left Tuesday's game with wrist and quad injuries, both are day-to-day. NBA Finals, Game 3 in Boston. Celtics beat the Warriors 116-100 to go up 2-1. Celtics are now 7-0 in these playoffs after losses. Game 4 is tomorrow. Game 5 is tonight at the Garden, where the Rangers have won 8 in a row. They look to keep that going and regain the lead over Tampa Bay in the East Finals that are tied at 2. In London today, the first ever round in the new LIV Golf Tour, financially backed by Saudi Arabian interests. Here's Phil Mickelson.
I don't condone human rights violations. I don't know how I can be any more clear. I understand your question. But again, I love this game of golf. I've seen the good that it's done. And I see the opportunity for LIV Golf to do a lot of good for the game throughout the world, and I'm excited to be about a part of this opportunity.
Wilson says he's earned the right to have a lifetime exemption on the PGA Tour, says he'll be in Boston next week for the U.S. Open. John Stasiak with Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. S&P futures right now up 11 points. Dow futures up 79. NASDAQ futures up 40 points. 10-year Treasury is up 1/32. The yield, 3.01% on the 10-year note. Kathy Wood of ARK Investment Management next on why she thinks deflation is the bigger worry. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Hofstra University's Frank G. Zarb School of Business, top-ranked online MBA program with a real-world foundation. Learn more at hofstra.edu/gograd.